In the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to his dear friends and fellow Christians in Philippi, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard the word, Philippians 1, 3 through 11. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, you began a good work in us. Carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Lord, let our love increase more and more in knowledge and every insight so that we can approve the things that really matter and be pure and blameless on the day of Christ. Amen. In the name of our Advent King, dear preparing Christians, how skeptical are you? Would you consider yourself a skeptic or just pretty much that goes along with everybody, you know, what they say? I would say that if you were to see a certain someone, let's say in a kitchen, in an apron, you would have reason to maybe raise an eyebrow or two. Really? You? First year of marriage. Birthday for my bride. Birthday cake, of course. What do we have? Somebody gave us a Jiffy box cake. White cake. That should work. Follow the directions. 8-inch pan. 1/2-inch rise? No problem. Cross cut. Layer it. Flat side to the wall. Icing. Directions. How do you spread such a thick mass of goo on a dry white cake? One cake. It's enough for life. Can you really say that in every area of life, it's the thought that counts? We're preparing. And I'm so grateful that our gracious God and Savior, when it comes to preparing the food for souls, He's got it covered. Because God creates, God redeems, and God sanctifies with the best of ingredients. And He brings us today to this wonderful recipe for Advent joy. First, remembrance. Don't forget. Remembrance. If you remember the life of this man who is the Lord's penman here, inspired by God, this is just absolutely remarkable how he could have this kind of remembrance. I thank my God every time I remember you, every time I pray for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I am convinced of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Those words would never have come out of his mouth. In the beginning, when he was Saul of Tarsus, a rabbi, rabid, with destroying this Nazarene sect. Men and women worshiping Jesus Christ, haul them off in chains. Get rid of them. Stomp it out. Except that Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, as you know, and convinced him he was alive. And then, the miracle of grace, make that man, one of the most violent anti-Christians there ever was, make that man the messenger to the Gentiles, the apostle to the non-Jews, and take him in spite of all his plans and his efforts. At the end of Acts chapter 16, second missionary journey, can't go north, can't go into Asia, have to go into Europe, where many Christians today trace their lineage. God got the gospel there to that city of Philippi, and Paul, now as his name is, Paul was Saul of Tarsus, renamed, he remembers. He looks back and remembers with joy what God got started in Philippi, which was basically a military town. It was full of legionnaires. Fascinating when you look at the Roman soldier and the legions that went off to conquer the world, more and more territory, until for 1,000 years, those highly trained combat troops were basically unstoppable, except in a few major instances, one in particular. But the Roman soldier was well trained in battle formations and hand-to-hand combat and road building. Prepare the royal highway. They knew how to lay in the foundation and build it up, and those roads, you can still find them today. They're still extant and not traveled all that much, but they're still there. Roman roads all over the empire. The soldier was recruited for 25 years at about age 17 and onward. Had to be able to swim every river that they came to with full gear and armor. They estimate 66 to 100 pounds. March 20 miles a day, and then build a fortified camp day after day after day. Survival rate, maybe a third. But if you could live that long and put in your 25 years, the Roman government gave you a piece of land for your farm retirement. And a colony like Philippi was one of the places where the legionnaires would go to retire there and enjoy life. And Paul looks back in remembrance on that place and the story that's there in Acts chapter 16, which we've been trying to get everybody to take home and give away on that fourth in the series of DVDs. But you know, not every remembrance of those legionnaires would be happy ones. Turns out only a few decades before this, three Roman legions were ambushed in the Teutoburg Forest of Germany. Some of you know that story pretty well. Arminius had been trained as a Roman soldier, but he was from the Germanic tribes, and he gathered together an alliance knowing the Roman tactics did not work in heavy forests, so he could pick his battles. Arminius wiped out three Roman legions. You perhaps know him by a different name if you get to go to our College of Ministry in New Ulm, Minnesota. It's unmistakable because there's a statue of Arminius holding his sword up. They call him Herman the German. That's his other name. Struck by lightning one time, not so many years ago, they actually had to repair Herman the German. But he stopped the advance of the Roman Empire into Germany, which, one thing leading to another, is partly why there was a Lutheran Reformation and all of the blessings that have come from that for us. Not all the memories would be good, but for Paul looking back, he's looking back and saying, in my prayers, I always remember you, dear Christians there, and pray with joy, because we've got this common union, this fellowship in the gospel, the good news from the first day until now. And I'm convinced that God got this started in you, and he's going to bring it to the goal on that day of Christ. This is the Advent message, getting ready and prepared for the second and final coming of Christ. And Paul is all into that, with the first of the ingredients for Advent joy. Remember. Remember. I am equally convinced, he says, that it is right for me to think this way about all of you because I have you in my heart. He uses a word here that's more than just feeling, it's more than just thought. The ancient Greeks felt that thinking up here actually starts down here. Interesting, if you're into this, that with the probiotics and everything like that, their modern Western medicine is starting to wake up to the fact, even saying that there are many as neurotransmitters in your stomach as there are in your head. The one kind of influences the other and the other one back and all that, and gut health and all that. Well, he's saying from right down here is where I think about you, and I have you in my heart. The second ingredient in God's recipe for Advent joy. Because I have you in my heart, for both in my chains, probably in Rome at the end of the book of Acts, captivity letters, and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all share in this grace with me. Being able to serve for so long in one place as I've been blessed to do, I look back on so many memories, not all of them happy ones. But what is it that brought the mission board here with the call and a pastor and the congregation and kept us together and unites us to this day? It's God's grace. It's the love of God's truth. He plants it in our hearts, not just with facts that we know and not just acceptance of those facts, but a trust in God's grace, his undeserved love, undeserved for us, and he deserves all the praise for this. You share in this grace with me. Yes, God is my witness how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. If you watch that film, and maybe your memories are good enough, you will know at least two of the individuals from that city of Philippi. You remember that because it was a Roman city of legionnaires, there apparently were not enough Jewish men in the city to have a synagogue. So when Paul, in his normal MO, modus operandi, he wants to find the Jews and tell them, your Messiah has come. Here's the prophecies, like from Isaiah. Here's Christ's life and ministry. See how it's all fulfilled. Jesus is your Messiah. He would find the Jews first, but at Philippi, it had to be down by the place of prayer, by the river. Remember who he met there? The seller of purple from Thyatira? I see purple all around us here. The royalty of kings in purple today. And that's what Lydia sold. And she heard Paul speaking about the fulfillment and the advent of our King in that first Christmas. And God touched her heart. In really a dramatic way, she makes the offer that you couldn't refuse. She says to Paul and Silas, their companions, if you consider me a believer, come and stay at my house. If they would have said no to her offer of hospitality, it would have been a slap in the face like, no, we don't believe you're a believer. So they have to come. She's twisting their arm with hospitality. So think about Lydia. You can see why there would be affection for her. But the jailer at Philippi, on the way to church at the place of prayer, Paul got into trouble one day. Because there was a slave girl that kept on following him around, and he felt so sorry for her, he finally, prayer to the Lord, drove out the demon from the slave girl, but in doing so, cut off a major source of income for all her masters who were abusing her and taking advantage and all that. And of course, one of the worst things in the Roman Empire was civil unrest. If there was a riot, the officials of town were in trouble, and whoever started it, oh, you don't want to be the guy. Well, they blamed it all on Paul and Silas. They caught them and scourged them, flogged them brutally. The Romans were not content to take, say, an 18-inch handle and tie leather thongs to it, strips of leather, and use that. No, they had to tie bone or flint on the end of that, so that when that came down on someone's back, and they didn't have the limits of Jewish law, no more than 40 lashes or you'll degrade your brother. So the Jews always said 40 lashes minus one, not for the Romans. There were records of enemies of Rome being flogged so severely that the skin and the muscle was gone from their back. bones. They died. So that's what they did, not to that extreme, but they flogged Paul and Silas and threw them into jail. They're in chains and in stocks, perhaps. They're held in a, and a jailer told you, watch them carefully. So what would you expect them to feel like under those circumstances? The DVD shows it pretty well. They're in pain. Oh, this must have looked so strange to that hardcore Roman soldier, that jailer. What is with these Jews? Deep into the night, they're singing hymns. Hymns of praise to their God. Their God didn't stop us from what we did to them. Well, the jailer had better things to do than listen to hymns. But you know that for a Roman soldier, if he lost even one prisoner, your life for his, you fall asleep on duty, you're dead. Well, what woke him up was the earthquake. Now imagine the terror. You wake up and all the prison doors are open. I mean, your thought is going to be, they're all gone. He's got his sword out and he's ready to end his own terror. Don't harm yourself. We're all here. He's heard the word in their songs. He falls trembling on the floor before Paul in his cell. And he asks the question of questions. Every Advent person in the whole wide world, especially Christians, but non-Christians too, what must I do to be saved? There's the question. What must I do to be saved? Do you notice in Acts 16, they don't say anything about what you do? It's all about what's done. That's the message of Christianity, not do this, do that. The message of God's holy word, the Bible, is done. And so they tell them, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household. Four verses in a row in Acts chapter 16 say the whole household. If there was ever a place in the Bible that God ought to tell us, but not the babies, not the little kids, that's one of them. But Lydia's family, the jailer's family, baptized and in joy because they all believed in the Lord Jesus. Can you understand why there was so much affection? And this jailer now, as a believer, washes their wounds, takes them into what was probably his living quarters connected there, and feeds them, and now the jailer has become a believer. And when Paul and Silas move on, because the jailer is told, well, the magistrates have come and said, now you can go free. Paul says, I love this. Paul says, they beat us without a trial and we are Roman citizens. They think they're going to send us away quietly. There's a time to apply the law, the civic law of the land, because those magistrates were really scared. Think of a military colony like that. This status of Roman citizen was a big deal. So the magistrates came and escorted them out as Paul demanded. And then it says, we went over to Lydia's house. So they visit on the way out. And then we left. And wherever they went, you can read it in Philippians. It takes about 15 minutes to read the letter to Philippians, even at just a moderate pace. But wherever they went, the Philippians were following them around with offerings to support Paul and his ministry when none of the other churches did that. They're so touched with the grace and mercy of God. Advent, remembrance, and affection goes both ways. To the affection, add joy. How do you find a greater, well, joy? Joy comes to love. Love. How do you find a greater prayer for love than this one? I pray that your love may still increase more and more in knowledge and insight. So how well do you know the Bible? Do you realize a lot of non-believers know the Bible too? The world out there knows the Bible very well. A lot of scholars, they know the Bible. You know more than they do? Why is it, you know, Luther said that too, that Christians can come for years and years and hear sermon after sermon and not still be able to open their mouth and defend their faith? We've had more than enough of the word through our ears, Luther said. We need more down in our hearts. Because it's not just a matter of knowledge. We ought to keep growing in that for sure. But the acceptance of those truths, do you accept that the Bible is God's word, that the Bible is God's truth? Well, good. So does the devil. You realize that? You can tell that the devil knows there's one God and rages against him because the devil is constantly doing everything he can. Whatever is of Christ, the world crucifies. Whatever is godly, Satan attacks. There must be something more that we need as we grow in knowledge and acceptance. He says we need to grow in this third ingredient. We need to grow in love. And as we keep on growing in love more and more, then the knowledge and the insight increases too. That will result in your approval. You'll be tested and approved of the things that really matter. What really matters in this life when everybody is continually pursuing the almighty dollar, as it's been called, the almighty dollar that can't even guard itself, gold that can be stolen from your home or taken in a bank and never given back to you, no matter how many certificates you have, an economy that could crash at any time, a world, you know, they're so afraid that the seasons are going to end, even though God promises they'll last until the end of the world. So there's a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety. What really matters? Growing in tactics, battle tactics of God's love for soldiers of the cross, mandatory. Then you'll be able to approve the things that really matter so that you will be pure and blameless on the one day that really matters, the day of Christ, and filled with the righteousness, the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. He wants that love in us to not just know the facts and accept the facts, but rest our whole life, our whole weight on God's truth. When you all came to church today, I don't think anybody here worried that when you sat down on these solid, you know, wooden pews that somehow it would break underneath you. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but it is embarrassing. Those, folding web chairs that you have in the lawn sometime. Not real fun to go through one of those as all the relatives are around and laughing and all that stuff. It's just not a fun thing to do, but it happens. You trust, and sometimes what you trusted gives way. But Christ our Lord is the rock of our salvation, and he never gives way. You can rest all your weight on him and cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So what we need to know in our tactics is that the enemies out there, the world, and Satan aren't going to stop, and we need to have priorities in love. So Jesus says in love, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You'll have all you need seeking his kingdom first. And he says to soldiers of the cross, be alert. Beware. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that throughout the world your brothers are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of grace, after you have suffered a while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the glory and praise forever and ever. Amen. So this busy time of Advent and all the ways that you're pulled here and there and everywhere, you think it might be a little bit easier if you focus on growing in love and the priorities that the Lord puts in front of us. What does it matter to wrap your whole life in tinsel and lights if that short circuits your worship of the one true God? What day in your life is ever going to matter in the end? Except that last day, the day of Christ, when the trumpet sounds, and the Lord wants everyone to know, your debt is paid, your guilt is gone, the blood of Christ washed away the sins of the whole world. There's no exceptions here or anywhere else. That's the tragedy of unbelief. It rejects that. And the Lord is calling to us again today, receive this righteousness by faith, also a gift of God, to trust in him as your one Lord and Savior, and build that royal highway, soldiers of the cross. Level out those valleys and the mountains and make it straight for the King to come to your heart. He just wants to bring these great blessings, a recipe for Advent joy. Remembrance, affection, love. When Pastor Gavrish saw that theme in parts in an email, he said, nice, we don't have to be so exact in all those ingredients. Just dump in as much as you can mix. I like that. With my skills, dump in as much as you can mix. Let's get cooking. Amen.